The first floor of the Capitol is swarming with people dashing back and forth, some pushing frantically at the slow-moving elevators, others giving up and dashing up the stairwells instead. Off to the side is 23-year-old Broward resident Matt Ross. He's autistic.
I don't have any services, and I work a part-time job holding a sign on a busy highway. And I've been looking for jobs, but due to limited bus schedule and due to my disability of autism, I cannot work the register and most of other job functions.
Ross joined the healthcare advocacy group Florida Chain in support of a Senate plan that draws down tens of billions of federal dollars to ensure about 1 million low-income Floridians in what's known as the Medicaid coverage gap. They make too much money for the state's current Medicaid program, but too little for the federal government's insurance exchanges. The Senate's budget proposal includes that money. The chamber is also crafting a plan to include another $2 billion in federal funding called the low-income pool, which expires in June. But neither of those federal programs are in the House budget, and they won't be, says House Healthcare Appropriations Chairman Matt Hudson.
As such, it would be premature for us to speculate as to what parameters federal CMS might give us. Therefore, we have not budgeted LIP funding in this proposal. As we receive more definitive answers from CMS, we will update our budget proposal. And we certainly hope to have resolution to this issue prior to the session.
CMS is the Federal Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. Negotiations are ongoing when it comes to the low-income pool, and the House remains opposed to using the additional federal Medicaid dollars. The House budget proposal clocks in at $76.2 billion. That's a billion less than what Governor Rick Scott has proposed. It's also $4 billion less than the Senate's whopping $80 billion spending plan. Here's House Appropriations Chairman Richard Corcoran commenting on that gap.
I think that, I've said that yesterday whenever it was that we talked, that right now that chasm between the House and the Senate looks sizable. But I'm an optimist. I think we'll get it worked out. I think President Lee's a great guy to work with. I think Speaker's working very well with President Gardner, and I think those are things that we'll just work through as the weeks go on.
Meanwhile, other parts of Florida's budget also aren't shaping up the way lawmakers may have hoped. The potential loss of federal money coupled with the House's continued reticence toward Medicaid means fewer dollars for areas like education, as former Senate President Don Gates explains.
Notwithstanding that, the president has provided additional funding to us, probably not as much as any of us or he would have hoped if circumstances would have been different. But the fact is that we will have additional funding, and the proposal coming from this committee represents a 4% increase in FEFP funding.
The House and Senate education spending plans also fall short of what Governor Rick Scott wanted, but they still represent a slight increase in overall education funding from the current year. Meanwhile, there's one place in the budget that is seeing a boost: environmental spending, although that too is shaping up to be a source of conflict. More than $700 million is expected to be generated from the passage of the Land Conservation Amendment, Amendment 1. However, the state's main land buying program, Florida Forever, is set to get its budget slashed more than 80% in the Senate's budget proposal. And that's something backers of the amendment say is just wrong. For WFSU News, I'm Lynn Hatter.